don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your hosts, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The Streets Don't Love You Back.
Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. Today is September 12, 2012. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, The Streets Don't Love You Back. Join us every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, and real changes as we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have a great show for you tonight. We have Ms. Christina Sargent Bergeron, and her message is not a great one, but one that we need to get a positive message out here to the youth. Christina's son was murdered just this last April, and along with one of his friends, and could have been others as well. So we're going to find out her story tonight and find out just exactly what happened. But before we do that, let me welcome Boyd to the show.
Yeah, I'd like to thank everybody for tuning into the show every Wednesday night, and just like to thank you, Ms. Christina, for allowing us to share your story on the show. And just want to give a big shout out to Big Linda Scarfer for referring you over to us and to get your message out there about your son. And I just wanted to let the people know that you and Big Linda is also in a mother's grieving group for mothers of grieving children. So without further ado, you can formally introduce yourself and let the viewers know what's been going on with your son's murder case.
My name is Christina Bergeron. My son's name was Stephen Bergeron. He was 20 years old. He was a good boy. He had never been in trouble with the law or anything like that. He had just joined the National Guard, and he enjoyed helping other people. In doing so, him helping other people ended his life. The day that he was murdered, my son and me spent the entire day together, including going to the beach together and just having some fun. When we came home from the beach that afternoon, one of his friends was already at my house and was concerned about one of their other friends, that she had been messed up on drugs all week long, and that Devin Badon was the boy that was giving her the drugs. My son had known Devin Badon for a couple of years. He had tried to help him on many occasions because Devin had a history of being in trouble with the law for drugs and for burglary and stuff like that. So my son was trying to get him on the right path. When we heard that Devin was giving drugs out to one of Stephen's friends, my son and I both called Devin and asked him not to give drugs to people. He was already on probation for 6 years for the burglary charge that he had just gotten out of jail for. And we told him we didn't want him going back to jail. Devin Badon was on speakerphone the whole entire time with all of my family members here and was threatening my son and wanting to fight my son. I raised my son always telling him it takes a bigger man to walk away from a fight. So my son always tried to do that. However, Devin Badon had threatened my other family members and to kill all of us. So my son did agree to meet him, and my son's exact words were, "Listen, that's fine. If you want to fight, we get up, we fight like men. We get up, we shake hands. It's done and over with, and I don't ever want to hear about you giving drugs to anybody ever again." So my son went to go meet him. However, Devin left and ran. So my son came back home and hung out with me and my family, and we sat outside working on four-wheelers all afternoon and just had some fun. However, during that time frame, Devin Badon and two of his friends were out planning my son's murder for 7 hours. They went to Lake Charles in Louisiana and got a gun. Then they came back to Sulphur, Louisiana, and tried to purchase bullets for it, but they weren't old enough to get the bullets. So Devin Badon called one of his friends and asked his friend to come to meet him over there to buy the bullets. They waited in the parking lot for 45 minutes. Devin bought the bullets. He gave the bullets to the boy by the name of David Fontenot, which did not know my son. They went around town, had a couple of drinks, told everybody they were going to do something big that night, and when they did, that everybody would hear about it. And Devin brought that David Fontenot to my house, lured him outside, and with my son standing on the side of the street, they pulled up next to him and shot at him 14 times.
Wow.
After he shot my son laid in the ditch. He went back to his house, hid the gun, gave his truck back to his friend that he had killed my son, and he went inside and went to sleep with no remorse whatsoever.
So a guy that didn't even know your son is the one that killed him?
Yes. He had never even spoke to my son or seen my son.
Wow. And the,
but the one that planned the whole entire thing out was Devin Badon. We went to trial today for his sentencing, and he was originally charged with second-degree murder, second-degree attempted murder on Chance Bourgeois, which was with Stefan walking on the side of the road to make sure that they had left my neighborhood because they had come to my house. And my son just went to go walk and find Chance to make sure Chance was okay. And they saw them walking on the side of the road, pulled up, never got out of their trucks, rolled down the window and opened fire.
Wow. So
he was murdered in front of me and my 16-year-old daughter.
All because they tried to help a friend get away from drugs.
Yes.
That's unbelievable.
When we went to the sentencing hearing this morning, Devin Badon only got 5 years because the DA offered him a plea bargain from second-degree murder and second-degree attempted murder all the way down to negligent homicide, which the maximum sentence was 5 years. So he reduced it 2 years. And since he's on probation already for burglary, he has a court date coming up October 22nd, which I will be at as well. And we're praying that that probation violation gets revoked and he'll have to spend the other 6 years in jail. The judge told him today in trial that if not for Devin Badon, my son would still be alive. He was the one that planned the whole entire thing and made it happen.
And what happened to David Fontenot?
He is still in jail awaiting trial right now. His trial date will be coming up on November the 13th. The whole entire thing was videotaped by a business outside of my house. And, of course, I'm still at my house, so I have to sit here every day and see where my son was shot and killed in front of me. He was shot in both of his legs, so he couldn't run. And then he was shot in his right arm, in his chest, which hit every organ except for his heart. And then they shot him in the head and laughed as they did that. And I had to sit there and hold my little boy's face together as it took him 30 minutes to die from his injuries.
Wow. That's got to be so hard.
It's very hard. I sit at the cemetery every single day. I'm still trying to raise money to get a headstone for my son. We are going to have a benefit at a place across the street from where he got killed called Wayne and Lane. And we're doing that for Stephanie's birthday on October 27th to try to raise the money to help pay for him to have a headstone and pay off his medical bills.
Wow, and how's your daughter?
It's traumatized her. She's a very smart girl. She maintains a 4.0 GPA. She does not want to go to therapy. She doesn't want to talk about her brother. She doesn't want pictures or anything. It's just too hard for her. She's been diagnosed with post-traumatic stress, so, along with the rest of us. My 14-year-old son, thankfully, had just fallen asleep when my son, Stephen, had gotten murdered. But my 14-year-old's autistic, so he's really struggling with this because Stephen was his best friend. And he doesn't know how to handle the situation. So we're all in therapy on a weekly basis. I have to take medication to calm the nerves and be able to function on a daily basis.
Now, you belong to this grieving mothers or grieving families group. How has that been able to help you, if at all?
It's really crazy because whenever you lose a child, you seem to lose all of your friends, you lose your family. It's like nobody wants to talk about it. So my groups and my mothers have been 100% my support system. In my darkest hours, I know I can pick up the phone and call any of them, and they help me through. I mean, there, you have your days where you go through so much guilt. I mean, I was right there, and I could not beat the bullets, no matter how fast I ran to him. I couldn't, and that's a guilt that I live with. I did tell the trial today, I did tell the judge, and I did talk to Devin Badon face-to-face. I let him know I would never forgive him. I let him know that I was struggling for a while thinking, you know, I raised my son to be such a good person and to be a helpful person. And in doing so, that cost him his life. But at least I can be proud of my son and know that he was a good person. And he died for a good cause. You know, he was honored a flag at his funeral and a Medal of Honor because he was a good boy, and he was born at 1 pound, 10 ounces at birth, so he was my miracle baby, and he died a hero.
Yes, he did, and he died a hero trying to teach kids that drugs are not a good way of life and that you know, drugs are going to ruin your life, and what is your message for the youth out there that are, you know, trying to use drugs and doing these things that your son was trying to stop?
Drugs are bad. I mean, it's going to ruin your life. It will destroy everything that you love, and it will destroy your family. It's going to get you nowhere in life. It makes you do things that you wouldn't normally do. You know, I wish that nobody in this world did drugs. I feel like I don't know if I can talk about God on here or not, but I feel like God looks down and he's just shaking his head in shame because all of these kids are, I say kids, these are 20-year-olds. They're not kids, they're adults. They know the difference between right and wrong, and they're making the wrong choices. And in turn, good people are dying because of it. Just stay off of them. It's not worth throwing away your life. You're not just throwing away your life. You're taking other people's lives. I'll never have my grandson. I'll never get a phone call telling me that my son's getting married. My son already had his son's name picked out for Lane Braxton. You know, I'll never meet Lane Braxton because he'll never exist. My kids will never be aunts and uncles. It just drugs destroy so many lives, and I hope people can see that. If they look up about Stephen, they'll see what a wonderful person he was. And that's the type of people that people should inspire to be.
Exactly. I'm going to hand the mic over to Rob for a minute. Thank you for sharing your story with us tonight.
Oh, you're very welcome. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, just want to say, Ms. Christina, once again, we appreciate you coming on the show. And I know you was telling me about what was going on with the DEA and people that's not trying to do right by the case, and you wanted to make people truly aware of what was truly going on. So you got the opportunity to go ahead and make people aware of what the injustice been going on in that case.
There's been a lot of injustice going on in my son's case. Devin Badon was originally charged with second-degree murder, second-degree attempted murder, and distribution of ecstasy. We went to trial, and it was a hung juror. And that's because when we go to trial, the jurors are not allowed to hear all the evidence. You're not allowed to bring up the past history of these people. To me, it's very difficult because, in my eyes, I'm not sure civilians should be the ones to be on the jury when it comes to a murder trial like this, one that you have all the evidence. The judge can get all the evidence, but the jurors can't. And I know that it's difficult for jurors to be able to make the decision to put a 20-year-old in prison for the rest of his life. I think there needs to be some laws changed on that. The district attorney and them misinformed me and my family about a lot of things, telling me that if we went back to trial a second time and it was a hung jury, that it would just be over with, which I found out is not true. We were told that we could not charge him as a habitual offender, which I found out is not true. He could have been charged with manslaughter, which would have carried a much higher sentence. The DA did not inform me of all the information correctly. They can say that they did, but they did not. If I had known the information that I know now, I would have never even agreed to this plea bargain. And taking my chances on him going back to trial again, because he would have possibly gone for life because we had more evidence that could get in. Also, I don't believe that if you have somebody on the case that is friends with the defendant's family, like the detective on our case, that they should be allowed to even be on the case. They should automatically have to be removed. The night my son was murdered, sitting in the car, going to the sheriff's department with blood still all over Chance from trying to revive my son and keep him alive, the detective on the case informed us that she was friends with Devin Badon's family and that they had been trying really hard to make him make the right choices, and he was basically a good kid. But yet he had just murdered my child. I have begged and pleaded to take the plea bargain off the table, but was not able to do that. So justice did not get served. I have tried to talk to the DA. I've tried to talk to the judge, which the judge could not speak to me because he had to stay impartial. The DA basically tells me that they didn't tell me all this stuff. However, I have witnesses. My mother was there. We know what we were told to make this decision, and it wasn't the accurate information. I think by law, the DA should have to tell us the truth, not just tell us what they want so that they can get another conviction underneath their belt, because irregardless of it being first degree, second degree, or negligent homicide, it's still another win under their belt. And I just feel that that's wrong. My son,
right.
You know, the law is supposed to be there to protect us, and instead it's there to protect the victims and not our children. You know, my son's gone forever.
Yeah, that's been shown time and time again, Ms. Christine. If it would have been a drug charge, you know what I mean, they would have been definitely giving my man a life sentence without parole. You know, you can sell drugs and get a life sentence right off the top. They don't care how old you is. But you can go kill somebody and get an outdate in 5 or 10 years or 15 years. So the law definitely need to be switched over and changed in a lot of different areas out here, because, I mean, it is what it is, and it's the facts. It's not something that, you know, somebody just seen on TV. You know, if people look at what's happening, you sell drugs, you go to jail for life. You kill somebody, you get an out date. And I mean, I don't see how they got that twisted down there in your town where your son was murdered right in front of your home. And it shouldn't even be no plea bargain on the table. Plea bargain is when we really don't know you done did nothing wrong and we just want to get a conviction, you know? That's what a plea bargain really is. I mean, if I don't know too much, I know about a lot of certain things and the law I'll be knowing about, you know?
That's true. You know, I heard in trial today that they were saying that the family agreed to this because the plea bargain because we didn't want to have to go through the pain of another trial. That's a lie. I would rather go through the pain of another trial and have him convicted for the rest of his life and spend the rest of his life in prison, because when he gets out, nobody's safe again. And it's sad that it takes somebody that's taken a life and admitted that they've taken a life. I mean, pleading guilty to negligent homicide is also saying, yes, I was involved in something that ended up in the death of somebody. But we give them a slap on the wrist. And, you know, just like this here, he got a 5-year sentence with 2 years reduced, then he'll get 5 years probation because the judge said today, you know, I want you under my thumb. And you will have to abide by my probation rules. So if you mess up, you'll have to go back to jail. The judge did not agree with the plea bargain, so the judge made it as harsh as he possibly could. And I appreciate that on the judge's part. I just wish the DA had done their part, because a lot of evidence didn't get in that should have been in. A lot of witnesses didn't get in that should have been in. And that's because the DA rushed this. It wasn't 7 months after my son was murdered that I was being drugged through trials.
Right.
I'm sorry, but watching your child get murdered takes you a lot longer than 7 months to even become a numb. I'm still numb.
Right.
I still tell myself my son is at work just to be able to function and get through the day. Our laws need to be changed to quit protecting these criminals and start protecting our children that are getting murdered. We're told to raise our children to do good and do right, and we do, and then they're taken from us and those that are doing bad get a slap on the wrist and get out of jail and go do it to other people.
Right, and that's the bottom line. You know, it's like it shouldn't be nothing to the point where that you see any individual, you know what I mean, that you know is capable of a lot of different things, and you let this individual get an outdate, and the individual come right back out and do the same thing, but worse than they did before. And once again, they're not caring about justice. What they care about in these courtrooms is pushing these trials through the court real fast, you know, and they don't want all the evidence to come in court. They just want a conviction to go in the lunchroom and say, well, we did a plea bargain, and so-and-so is doing 3 or 4 years, but we got a dead individual right here where his mother or father, you know, is dead for life now because they can't get their child back, you know. It ain't like you stole my car and I can go buy another car, you know. So a lot of this stuff is not talked about and it's not brought out, but a lot of these DAs are running around here just for, once again, to just say, hey, I done won a case and I done put somebody in jail. But you putting somebody in jail for a few years and they come back out and do the same thing, you really ain't did your job.
Correct. I mean, you have people that get pulled over and they have, say, lore tabs in their car. And they get busted for distribution of having 40 pills in the car and get 20 years in life. You go out and murder somebody, you get 0 to 5 years in prison,
right,
and get out. And the defense attorney, Todd Clemens, actually is one of the ex-district attorneys, and he was representing Devin Badhorn. He actually got on TV and said that my son brought this on himself. And like I told the TV station today, if that's the case, that's saying that every DARE role model that we teach our children in school and every police officer that's trained to protect us and keep drugs off the streets, you're saying that we all deserve to be killed. Just because we called somebody and told them not to give drugs to people does not mean that my son deserved to die.
Right, and that's
doesn't
the bottom
line. Doesn't
give
them a right to do that.
Right. So what I want to ask you, Ms. Christine, what would you like to say to Ms. Linda, who referred you to me on my wife's radio show? What would you like to say to her on Nationwide Radio for that?
I want to tell her thank you so much. I mean, she has been such a huge support system for me and my son. She gets on his In Loving Memory page on a daily basis and lets me know that he's not forgotten. You know, that's a big issue for me. I don't want my son forgotten. He should never be forgotten. He should be remembered as the hero that he was and that he is. And I just want to thank her and all of my other grieving mothers for being my friend and being my support system, and I wish I could go to each and every one of them and get together with them and just hug them all. I mean, I am so sorry that all of us are going through the pain and the loss of our children getting murdered, and all these people that are murdering our children are getting slaps on the wrist, and they will get out and have children. They will get out and have some sort of life to where our children can never do that.
Exactly. And Christina, what happened to the young girl that they were trying to help?
We have not heard from her. She got on the stand at our trial and was up on the stand for about 10 minutes. Then district attorney asked her if she knew that they were going to do this. She said no. They brought up her text messages between the shooter and Devin Fontenot, where they had already told her they were going to do this. And she lied on the stand. But the defense attorney said he didn't have a copy of that, so it was dismissed as inadmissible in court, and the jurors were told to disregard her testimony.
Wow. And his friend, your son's friend named Chance?
Chance.
He was with his son when it happened, or nearby, or did they try to get him at a distance?
Yes, they were arrested for attempted murder on him as well. They did shoot at him, but he was not hit. We were actually in a relationship, and this has destroyed us. So we are actually no longer together. It actually put him into a mental hospital 3 different times, and he really struggles over it. So he's trying to get his life back together as well.
Wow. And Christina, where is your son's father in this picture? Was he ever around, or...
I raised my children by myself. My son met his real father about 9 months before my son was murdered. And he did come to the funeral and paid $400 for the flowers to go atop the cross of my son's coffin. And I've never heard from him since.
Oh, that's too bad. So, Christina, besides the mother's support group that you are a part of, what other support groups, if any, are you in, and who is your biggest support at this time right now?
I'm in support groups of parents of murdered children. I'm in support groups of grieving mothers, and I miss my child. And probably my biggest support is my therapist. I do see her, like I said, every single week. And it's really the only place that I can go other than in my support group on Facebook and be able to actually open up. I've had to train myself not to cry because my family doesn't want to hear about it or talk about him. Everybody's life seems to go on, but a part of my life stopped that night, and I'm stuck there. So out of respect to my children, I try not to bring it up too much because I know my daughter and my son are struggling. So it's a lonely path. It's a very lonely path. And it's very difficult when your only support system is on Facebook in groups with other mothers and y'all can't be together, you know.
Right.
So you sit at home and it's just, it's very lonely.
You know, you just mentioned that, and it's got to be hard for you who have lost your own flesh and blood, your son. And you can't even talk about it to the rest of your family, or, you know, even though people do have to go on with their lives, and I mean, you have to continue living as well, you know, for your children and for yourself. But still, you need your family, you need your support. I think we just need more support from all of our family and loved ones.
I agree. I think you turned to strangers,
and that's your biggest strength, is strangers in these groups that have gone through the same thing that you've gone through. And that's the best thing, too, because they do understand where a lot of people, you know, don't understand because they've never gone through that. But you still, to me, it seems like you would still need your close family.
You do, and I would like to tell people out there that know people that have lost their children, it's not natural to bury your child. That's not something you're supposed to do. It's not a natural order of life. And as much as you think that you're going to hurt the mother or even the father by talking about the child, we need that. We need to know that our children are remembered. We need to hear the stories that make us laugh. And even if it makes us cry, it's okay. That's something that we need. We don't, it hurts us more for everybody to pull away and to not, I understand it's because they don't know what to say.
Right.
We need that. We need that support system. And I wish, if anything, I hope family members that are listening that have families that have lost a child, go to them. Go to them every day. Hug them, you know, and ask them how they're doing. Let them be able to be honest with you and tell you that they're not doing good. You know, it's not right for us to have to tell everybody, oh, we're fine, just to please everybody else, because they really don't know what to say and don't want to hear about it. But it makes it such a lonely path for us that we've had so many mothers that have been on this lonely journey that have actually committed suicide because they can't take it, because the path is that lonely.
Right. Now, your kids, do they, besides their therapist, do they have any kind of support groups or anything that they've found?
My little boy is in a support group. Like I said, he's 14. He's always been in therapy, but he's getting extra therapy now to try to help him to understand what happened. He doesn't know all the gory details because he doesn't need to know. My daughter is refusing to do therapy because she's in denial. And all I can do is be there for her whenever it finally does hit, and it will. It will hit her one day. She stays so busy right now with work and school and taking extra college classes in high school and keeping herself so busy that she's trying to bury what happened. And that's hard to watch as a mother. But I also know that all I can do is just be there for her. I've tried to be very strong for everybody, but sometimes I need somebody to be there to be strong for me, and that's where the lonely path comes in when you don't have that.
Right. Wow. You know, I my heart just goes out to you and to any mother that, you know, has lost a child. You know, I don't know what it's like, you know, other than having a miscarriage, but that's just completely different than raising up a child, teaching up your child, spending time with them, loving them, you know, doing all the things that mothers do for someone just to come along because they're angry and kill them. You know, it's just unbelievable.
You know, the statistics for parents watching their children get murdered is a lot lower than, you know, we have a lot of children that are getting murdered, but most of the time the family members aren't there to see it. So every loss of a child is devastating. I don't consider one loss to be more than the other. I lost my first child before Stephen was ever born, like you. I miscarried my child at 5 months.
Wow.
And that was before Stephen and my other two children were ever born. But my children definitely know about Tristan. For 16 years,
right,
every year we released balloons. And it took me 16 years to get to the point to where I had to pull myself back to where I don't have to do that every year anymore.
Right.
But it is different whenever you've raised a child and you've had that child and you love that child. And, you know, my son was the most caring person in the world. He would do anything for everybody. And he never came into the house without walking up to me and hugging me. And he had this thing about singing this song to me about loving you because you're so beautiful. And, you know, he was just my best friend, you know. he was everybody's best friend. So.
Yeah. Well, you gotta keep remembering him and keep spreading his message and, you know, help educate the kids out here, I guess, about drugs and you know, continue on the message that he started.
I am. That is my goal. And, you know, I'm going to try really hard to push for the laws. Like I said, if somebody on the case is friends with somebody's family or knows that person involved in a murder, I think the law should be changed and they should be taken off the case completely. I think that, like I said, by law, the DA should have to tell us the truth and not sugarcoat it to get a plea bargain. It should never be a plea bargain. You have it on video of them murdering my child. It should have been an open and closed case.
Exactly.
And it just wasn't. You know, they didn't want to put in the time and the effort to go back to another trial. It wasn't that they were concerned about me. And as I said today, that I didn't want to do another trial. You know, if I had known what I had known and had been told the truth about everything, I would have fought tooth and nail to keep this boy in prison for the rest of his life. So no other child has to get murdered.
Exactly. I'm going to turn the mic back over to Rob.
Yes, Ms. Christina. Once again, we're definitely happy that you are getting a chance to share your message worldwide and that people are definitely getting a chance to see how injustice cases don't have to happen in one city. It happens all over the world. And we just thankful that you is definitely getting it out there for people to understand about your case. And we just sending our prayers up to you and your family because I can't sit here and tell you I know how you feel, but I can sit here and tell you that we will always keep you lifted up in prayer for God to keep intervening and helping you out cope with this tragic loss of your son.
Well, I appreciate it very much, and if you don't mind, I'd like to share his in memory page if anybody would like to join it, and if they have anything to say to him, I'd be more than happy to hear what they have to say.
Sounds great. You can give out that, and also you can give out a website if you got a website for him, and just let the people know. And also, you can also give out the next time your court date is for people that might hear this interview in your city, for people that's been wrongly injusted, which you have, they might come to trial on your behalf.
Okay, well, Devin Badon will have another court date on October 22nd in Cameron Parish with Judge Fontenot. And that is because of his probation violation for burglary. If his probation is revoked, then he will have to serve the remainder of that, which will be 5.5 years. So I hope everybody prays that he does get that revoked since he has been convicted of another felony now for negligent homicide on my son. And on November the 13th, we will be having trial for David Fontenot, which was the shooter in the case, for murdering my son. And I'd be more than happy to have all the support there I can get. Also, my son does have a page on Facebook called In Loving Memory of Stephen, which is S-T-E-P-H-I-N, middle initial W, period, Bergeron, B-E-R-G-E-R-O-N. And anybody can go like his page and read all the wonderful posts about him and see his handsome pictures. Like I said, he was 1 pound, 10 ounces at birth. And when he was murdered, he was 5'3", 128 pounds. No threat to anybody, you know.
Sounds good. And also, I would like for you to give out you and Linda's and them group on Facebook that y'all have on Facebook for grieving mothers.
Yes, we are in a group called Grieving Mothers. We are also in a group called Parents of Murdered Children and a group called I Miss My Child. And it's all on Facebook. You can go to the pages and type in those three website names and it'll bring you up to it and you can join the group there for support for other mothers.
Right.
And for
like
Linda, I would love to tell her I love her and I love her, Joey, very much.
That sounds like a winner right there. And also, you know, Christina, you know, if you have any other information you would like to give out right now, so do.
I'd just like to spread the word, you know. Please remember Stephen Wayne Bergeron. He died because he didn't want people to do drugs. And if those people out there that are listening are doing drugs, please hear the pain in my heart and my voice and my soul. If you join his page, you'll be able to read the pain in all of his friends that lost him, his family members. It's bad choices, and we can all make the right choices. A lot of people use that their childhood was a bad childhood. We all had bad childhoods, some worse than others. You should learn to aspire to be more than what your childhood was. And I just want to tell everybody, God bless you and bless y'all for having me on here and y'all being a good support system for me. And let's try to help fight and put all these murderers behind bars where they belong, but make them keep them there for life.
Without a doubt, you know, and I have to definitely agree on that. And, you know, I wanted to just touch up on something before we get off the air. That's just like a situation that I've seen where a man had did a lot of murder cases and they cut a deal with him and he ended up doing 20 years and they let him out. And no sooner than he got out, a month later, he was back killing again, you know. But this guy was killing women, you know. So I want to just say to you prosecutors out here, if you got somebody that's out here killing people, whether they men, women, kids, or what have you, and they got a history of this, why in the world is you going to let this fool back out after spending all this time? What you think he's been sitting there thinking about all these years? He ain't been sitting there, you know, thinking about going to church, you know. So you need to open your eyes up and stop so quick to let these monsters back out here on the street like y'all be doing, you know. But a drug dealer, once again, you put him away for the rest of his life. Think about it, people.
That is correct. The system needs to change. You know, if we would give harsher sentences to these people that are taking our children's life and taking our future from us, then maybe some of this will stop. That whenever we're continuously just giving everybody a slap on the wrist, they have nothing to lose. I mean, you're going to, what, they'll spend a year in jail, get out, big deal. So it's easier to go out and kill somebody than to sit here and sell drugs on the street.
Right, bottom line, you know, and we must take a strong look at that, people. I mean, in every state, in every city, you know, you got to stand up for what's real, and the only way you're going to change something, you got to be a part of the change, and you got to stand up and be a voice of the change, not sit back thinking something's going to change because it's not going to change because you sit back and chill at the house, you know, or you just kicking it. You got to stand up, be a voice, and be part of the change, or whatever you're trying to change.
Yes, and I would like all the mothers out there to know, never give up fighting. Stay fighting as hard as you can. I don't care if you have to plaster billboards across the state. Fight for justice for your child. Don't let the DAs and everybody else try to coerce you into making plea bargains. That's what happened to me on this case, and it was the wrong choice to make.
Amen.
And I don't want to see another mother have to go through that. You fight, and you fight hard, and don't let people push you around. The DA is supposed to be there to protect you and your child and to fight for your child. That's their job. Make them fight for your child.
Exactly. And once again, Christina, we're going to get ready to go off the air. Do you have any last shout-outs to anybody or any last messages out to the youth?
There's so many people to shout out to because I have so many wonderful mothers that are supporting me. They've been on KPLC-TV. They have a page that has the sentencing from today on there. If you get on Facebook and look at KPLC-TV, you'll see it on there, and it'll have today's sentencing. We've had an outpour of mothers from my groups. I want to tell every one of them, thank you from the bottom of my heart for standing up for my son and for standing up for me. And for the youth, please, please make the right choices and don't let peer pressure get to you. Stay off the drugs. Pick your friends very wisely because sometimes you pick the wrong friends and that'll end your life just as easy. So I know you think that all of us parents don't know what we're talking about, but we really do, and we only have your best heart at interest. So please really take to heart what your parents say about not doing drugs.
Exactly. And the same like you said, pick your friends wisely. You know, there's a lot of kids out here that are into gangs and different groups that are not doing the right things. And, you know, those people out there really are not your friends. They'll get you to do the wrong things. They'll get you in situations that can take your life. And so you definitely have to choose your friends wisely.
You know, if you can't, if you're in a situation that you want to get out of, go to a pastor. Go talk to a pastor. Go talk to a police officer. Ask for help, and they will help you. They'll get you in programs to get you out of all of these bad situations and, you know, inspire to be somebody good.
Exactly. Well, do you have anything else? Any last shout-outs, Boyd?
Yeah,
no,
I just
want to tell you, thank you all very, very much.
Yeah, I would just like to say before we get out there, those who's not joined the movement page yet, please log on to www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com. And if you have not went to our store, online store, please log on our online store. We have the clothesline there. We have both books, The Streets Don't Love You Back and Never Hit a Woman book. And we have a lot of things on the site, a lot of resources for gangs and different things, ex-felon jobs, and our Keep It Real show and our Change Reality show, and just resources to help people out, you know, in whatever avenue that you're having problems in. You know, it's right there on our movement page for somebody for you to reach out to, outreach centers, the whole nine yards. So we just asking people to come aboard and be part of the change that you want to see and the change that you want to have a loud voice within, you know? And with that being said, I'm going to turn the mic back over to the missus. And also, I just want to say, be on the watch out, you know, for a lot of different great things that's coming up.
Well, I appreciate everything that y'all are doing. It's making a difference in this world, and God sees that, and you will be rewarded for that.
Well, thank you, Christina, and thank you again for coming on our show and sharing your story. I know it's, you know, sometimes maybe helpful to talk about it, and sometimes maybe just really hard to talk about it. But we do appreciate you coming on, and we hope that, your story, and we know it has touched somebody else's lives and will touch somebody else's lives. And we're just going to continue keeping you in our prayers, and that the right things will happen to these boys who killed your son.
Well, thank y'all very much. I appreciate y'all having me on. And for any mothers that are out there that feel alone and are feeling suicidal, please always know that I'm here and you have a support system with me.
All right. And do you have a Facebook page that they can reach out to you at?
I do. It's Christina Sargent Bergeron. And if they go on In Loving Memory of Stephen W. Bergeron, they can also find me on there because I have access to that, so they can talk to me on there as well.
Okay, great. All right. Well, Christina, we thank you. We know it's really late where you're at, and we're going to let you get some rest. You know, we just thank you. And like I said, we'll keep you in our prayers, and you know, we're here if you ever need us for anything as well. So just keep in touch with us and let us know what's going on, and join our movement and put your story out there and share your story with the youth and with all the kids that, you know, are in these situations so that they don't have to go through it.
I will. I appreciate it.
And we just like to remind everybody that we're live every Wednesday night, 8:30 Pacific Time, 11:30 Eastern Time. And please join us live next week. If you want to listen to any of our past shows, you can log into our website and listen to all of our shows 24/7. And we're going to go out tonight with a song called Guide Us and Protect Us. And until next week, have a great week, and remember, the streets don't love you back. Good night.
Guide and protect us, Lord. To give us your grace and your strength and your mercy. Swinging the two-edged sword. I'm fighting for justice so nothing can hurt me. Even when I pass away, my legacy lives on through my seed and my working. Every little thing I pray. Give thanks to your grace and your strength and your mercy, your mercy. The first one I call every day when I wake and pray. Yeah, the one who is there when no one has a care, I say. Lord, you strengthen my soul when my mind wants to go astray. Yeah, and lift me up high when I fall and my ground gives way. Lord, how precious your love and your grace and your counting days. Lord, you show me the light and the dark, now I shall repent. Yeah, with all of my strength I will fight with an iron fist. Lord, the freedoms of hate and the sea today don't exist. Guide and protect us, Lord. To give us your grace and your strength and your mercy. Swinging the two-edged sword. I'm fighting for justice so nothing can hurt me. Even when I pass away, my legacy lives on through my seed and my working. Every little thing I pray. Give thanks to your grace and your strength and your mercy, your mercy. With enemies close all around, I will call your name. Yeah, and slaughter the weak, you quickly with no thought or shame. Lord, for my heart is firm in your hands, so I'm no disgrace. No, I'll hail up your name every day with a smiling face. Boy, I never can give in a praise to your tenderness. Lord, to be in your infinite grace is my happiness. Yeah, no matter the time or the place, you're omnipotent. Lord, you show me the light and the dark, so I shall repent. Yeah. Guide and protect us, Lord. To give us your grace and your strength and your mercy. Swinging the two-edged sword. I'm fighting for justice so nothing can hurt me. Even when I pass away, my legacy lives on through my seed and my working. Every little thing I pray. Give thanks to your grace and your strength and your mercy, your mercy. Yeah, we tried the long rocky road.
Uh-huh.
The Buffalo Soldier fights the power freedom war. The last we step on the throne, the conquering disciples from your congregation. Yeah. Collect your security, we build a better nation. Time besides the unity. Say nothing and fight, nothing and war. But brotherly love can destroy oppression. If we come together, we can conquer all our foes. Live victory eternally. But if we keep on murdering through so much petty things, we're crumbling our destiny. But we were meant to rule upon the earth and multiply creativity and love. So I will always try to show love and respect until I die. And so I will humble and pray. Guide and protect us, Lord. To give us your grace and your strength and your mercy. Swinging the two-edged sword. I'm fighting for justice so nothing can hurt me. Even when I pass away, my legacy lives on through my seed and my working. Every little thing I pray. Give thanks to your grace and your strength and your mercy, your mercy.